Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight, I wish for us to remember the Christmas story. Now, I know it's Christmas, so this is kind of, you know, part of the course of being in church here on Christmas Eve. But you all know the story so well. This wonderful visitation of the angel to Mary, the wonderful angels coming to the shepherds on the hill high above Bethlehem, to the little babe in a manger, surrounded by the lowliest of things. And yet there, in a lowly stable, in the city of Bethlehem, is Christ the Lord. We're not talking about that story tonight. Instead, I'm going to read you the Christmas story, according to St. Matthew. Hold on, it's going to take a long time for me to get through this. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. There you go. There's the Christmas story. That satisfying for any of you? No. When we think of the Christmas story, we often think of what Luke tells us. The wonderful pageantry of the night of which Christ was born. The star hanging above the sky. The angel choirs singing glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. This is the Christmas that we remember. Proclamation to the whole world. Christ is born. That's not what Matthew gives us. Matthew gives us something completely different. He gives us instead a look at what Christmas is, a look at what Christmas does to people, and a look how God changes the world. And it all has to do with one person. And it's not Jesus. It's instead someone who you might forget in the Christmas story. Because there are songs about Mary. There are songs about the shepherds. There's even songs about three kings who come and visit the Lord. But when's the last time you heard about Jesus' stepfather, Joseph? Probably haven't given much thought to him. Yes, he was the father of Jesus while on earth. But what about what he did? Luke is oddly silent. The famous Christmas story that we all have grown up with doesn't give us much detail about Joseph. And yet Matthew dedicates the entire Christmas story, seemingly, to Joseph. Why is that? It's because we see in the man Joseph what Christmas means. Because of this might be a little bit hard for us to wrap our heads around, I want to explore this story with you through something that has captivated the artists for centuries. I'd like to take a look first at a picture with you. This is a painting that was made about Joseph. You might see some things that you might not even understand. He is sitting right now in his workshop. If you look at his face, he doesn't look happy. Instead, he is actually looking very glum and sad. You see the world going around about him. Women are carrying their jugs of water, going through their life as if everything is okay. The entire world is going on as normal. But there is Joseph. Wood shavings all around him. Some lumber has been cut, but it looks like there's nothing being built. It's almost like he was whittling away with his knife, not paying attention to what he was doing, but keeping his hands busy while his mind thought of other things. And indeed, his mind was elsewhere. Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Mary was pregnant. His fiance was going to give birth to a child, and Joseph was not the father. Joseph had everything planned. He had a nice business. It was probably family owned. He had a good reputation in his community. He even had a lovely young bride. His honor was great. He was about to do his duty and make his family proud and make God proud. And then the news. Mary is pregnant, and you are not the father. Joseph looks, contemplating what to do next. He looks at his knife as if all the answers to the world can be found on that blade. He thinks, ponders what to do. And because he is a man of honor, he goes and was going to do this. Joseph would go, and he would quietly divorce Mary, saving her face and, unfortunately, hurting him in the process. If we look at this photo or this painting, we often can see what Joseph was look like is something that we have all been through. We've had plans made. Our ducks are all in a row. And one thing, completely out of your control, and suddenly it feels like the floor gives out under you. It's painful. It's hard. And you look for answers anywhere. Keep your hands busy. Keep your mind occupied. And yet, you have to wonder, what am I going to do now? Joseph had these thoughts on those nights so long ago. I want to share another painting with you. This is a painting of Joseph sleeping. He is now asleep in his home. You might see that he is shrouded in darkness. He doesn't know what's going on. There's no light in him at all. He is about to essentially change his life and not for the better. He tries to find answers. He's a good Jewish man. He trusts in God, and so he does what is natural. He turns to the words of the prophets, the Old Testament. He carries with him the letters and the prophecies of Isaiah folded on his lap, and he reads and he reads until his eyes can no longer stay open. And he falls asleep with a heavy heart, knowing that in the morning he will have to go to Mary and divorce her. And then there's light. It's small. And the painting has a beautiful thing. A single candle illuminates everything. And illuminates the face of an angel sent by God, proclaiming these words. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The angel comes and brings light into Joseph's darkened world. He brings the news of great joy, which shall be for all people. He comes and he brings a message specifically for Joseph in his time of trial, and says to him that do not be afraid. This is God's at work. Everything was to be done in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The coming of the Lord was amazing and awe-inspiring to Joseph. Not because of the angels singing on a hill or all the shepherds gathered around. It was because of the millennia-long promise that God made to his forefathers. The millennia-long promise that God would send a Savior through the line of David to save his people from their sins. But it is more than just his people, because Joseph received a message for him to be at peace. For this child born of your fiancée Mary is from Christ, is Christ the Lord. And he, you shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people, you, from your sin. The message is personal. Yes, indeed, it involves the entire world. For God so loved the entire world that he sent his only Son into it, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yes, God proclaimed on the cross that it is finished. Yes, he rose from the dead and proclaimed that any who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But for Joseph and for us here today, God sends us a personal message. Christ was born into the world for you. Christ came down, bore your sin all for you. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it for you. The message of Matthew's birth of Jesus is one of personal peace for Joseph and for us. We know what this peace is like, but we look forward to what it may look like as well. This is what it might look like. A final photo, a final painting to share with you. This is a famous painting of Joseph. Saint Joseph and the Christ child. You see how he holds him tenderly. He's small. Christ came as a babe, same as everyone here. He came personally. And Joseph holds him in his arms personally. You almost see him trying to tug the beard. That close. Gone is the man who couldn't even figure out what was going to happen next. Gone is the man who sat in darkness. Now there is peace. There is hope. There is light. For he holds within his hand the light of the world, the Prince of Peace. In this Christmas season, when all the world celebrates, and even the church celebrates the coming of the Christ child into this world, remember, Christ came personally to give you peace, to give you comfort. I have come to save you, he almost says. I have come to give you peace, to strengthen you in your trials, to be with you in your highs, to guide you in your lows. And Christ promises that he will be with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen.